It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game. What's happening, party people? Right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, the sports betting network. It's Gil Alexander. Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Vobo, Sling, Game Plus. Appreciate however you're taking us in this morning. Danny Burke is here as well. Dano, we got a lot to talk about today, man. 2 hours, not enough. We're going to try to get to it. PGA, of course. We'll have both Brady Cannon in here and Dave Tindall from across the pond. Our friend Dave Tindall to talk about the PGA, golf's first major this year. I'll also have to report Joe Pita's PGA picks and Rufus Peabody's pick to win on the PGA, which is kind enough to pass along for the show today. So a lot of golf, second hour. We got to get to this FanDuel story about these soccer bets they took and they don't want to pay out on in New Jersey. We will get into that. That's a fascinating story that Dave Purdom wrote about at ESPN. And Anthony Curtis, friend of Network, also wrote a blog about it. Captain Jack hooked me up with some context on it as well. So we'll talk about that. Yesterday's Bucks-Nets game, which was historical, or at least on the historical charts of greatest upsets in recent NBA history. 18.5 point dogs, Nets win it outright. We said on this show yesterday, don't be surprised if the Bucks sit guys in this game. We were talking about it from a lead perspective, but they sat guys anyway. Nets win it outright. We'll talk about that and the case for in gaming with that. Let's begin because there's so much more I want to talk about as well. But let's begin. We've got to talk about producer number 7. We've got MLB picks. We've got thoughts of our own on PGA. Let's start with James Salinas, our buddy, who, of course, is a former Super Contest winner, finished 3rd the following year after winning the Westgate Super Contest, finished 26th 2 years after that. It occurred to me because Matthew Stafford of the Lions yesterday had it was announced that he had a false positive on COVID, and it just jogs for me in my memory of when Ezekiel Elliott had a positive test earlier in the summer. I was talking about how's anybody going to play a contest this year? How's anybody going to play fantasy? My buddy in DC was like, I haven't done a mock because I don't know what's going to happen. He's off his mock game. I'm like, dude, how can you play fantasy? Like, we have no idea what's going to happen from week to week. Let's bring in James Salinas from somewhere there in Denver, Colorado. Good morning to you, Jamesy. How you doing, man?
Good morning. I'm still on the phone. Actually, I know you're recruiting for your producer number 7, so I was just speaking at producer number 6, and I think this will need to be a prerequisite for your 7th producer is to help an old guy like me out to figure out Skype. I bought a new laptop and everything. I combed my hair this morning. I was ready to jump on the video, and I'm still stuck with my flip phone on the phone talking with you. But right. Good morning, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. That wasn't a shot at Danny, was it? Producer number 6, was it?
No, he's moving on to bigger and better things. No, I actually asked him, help me through this because I'm assuming it's probably on my end. I don't know how to do these Skype pieces. So the next producer needs to help out some of our Generation X folks like me, some of our dinosaurs, figure out this new technology.
Dinosaurs. All right. So, James, let me ask you this. I was thinking about this with Ezekiel Elliott, as I said earlier in the summer. I'm like, what if this happens during the NFL season, right? And I want to say it was Dan Wetzel who wrote this article yesterday. Don't hold me to that. But he jogged the memory of this. I thought about you. And it's just a situation where you have, you know, let's say, so Matthew Stafford is not positive with COVID-19. Let's say that first. We're thankful that he's not positive. His wife overcame brain surgery. So obviously he has family members that, you know, have conditions that would not be good around that virus. He has kids. So we're happy that everything's good with the Stafford family first. But what I was saying with Zeke and what I was saying and what it came up again yesterday was, all right, if this were midweek during the NFL season, right? Let's say the Lions were playing somebody and it seemed like he was going to play all week long. And at the end of the week, and I'm just using Stafford because he came up yesterday, but it could be anybody of prominence on any team, any quarterback, let's say, or any star player. Let's say it looked like that player was playing all week. And then at the end of the week, we find out, oh yeah, you know, he's out. He tested positive. And let's say the opposite. Let's say it looked like he was going to be out all week. And then we find out, oh no, it was a false positive. He's actually playing. This is like imagine the opponent's preparation for this. Or let's say he missed a game. Let's do it retroactively. Let's say he missed a game. And then we find out it was a false positive. He could have played anyway. And that's just the COVID part of it, right? Not to mention, like, someone with, you know, ability to get big money down who's connected to a team could take advantage and manipulate that and all that. But there could be whole teams, right? It's not just going to be one player. What if he infected all his teammates? What about the team they played before? Anyway, all of that to say, how are you going to play contests this week, this year? Are you planning on doing this like every year? Or are you just like, I don't want any part of this?
Well, I've been procrastinating on what my approach is going to be with the contest. I normally don't come out until towards the end of August anyhow to sign up. And I know sign-up started much earlier this year, but I tend to be pessimistic with these things. It's more so, I think it's a mechanism for me as a kid to not get overly excited and then find out I'm going to be disappointed if things don't come true. So am I going to play? Yeah, I'm definitely going to play. How am I going to play it from week to week? That's the challenge. But the good piece is that everybody that's in the contest has to deal with the same challenge. So it'll be a level playing field from that perspective. So I think we've spoken plenty of times about my process and the importance of injuries and practice reports for that matter. That's what's going to be interesting with all this, because is somebody going to come down? Is somebody going to test positive? They're not going to be able to release that. And I think there's some rules with HIPAA and how they can, what they can and cannot disclose. So I think that's going to be a work in progress as we learn. Fortunately, these contests, it's not just 1 week. It's a full season of games that you have to pick. But I think that's going to be the challenge, is to how do I navigate that? How do I are there even going to be open portions of practice for reporters? There usually is. And that's when we talked about being technology challenged, at least for me. The last handful of years, I've been able to work through Twitter, follow a lot of beat writers on Twitter with those teams. And that's where you get the scoops of so-and-so actually practiced, but he didn't do much. He was just stretching on the sideline, or they give you more information than what the standard practice report reads out. We don't know what that's going to look like yet. So you can kind of anticipate it. I think for me, it'll just be taking a very cautious approach with it. I'll be a conservative approach. Usually my process for the first few weeks anyway is to go with what I know, not what I'm going to anticipate as far as teams go, the cohesiveness of a ball club. And I think it's those things are going to happen. And I think leadership this year more than any, and you know, we've talked about that intangible too with leadership from management on down through the coaching staff and the locker room and the leaders of the players. That's going to be a huge issue this year. Teams are going to need solid leadership, because now there's so much, you're going to need efforts of accountability for players. Because if you don't want to be this guy, you don't want to be this guy. Like we've seen it with the Marlins. We've seen now that sports are back these last couple of weeks. We've seen, I think it was actually a good thing with what happened with Florida and now with St. Louis, contracting it and kind of having an outbreak internally with their teams, that it sends a message not only to those teams, but all the other leagues, all the other sports and all the other players that, look, this is serious. And you could be, this doesn't, your behavior and how you choose to spend your time outside the bubble or off the field, how you choose to spend your time can be adversely affect not only you, your family, but also your ball club, your teammates, your franchise, and ultimately the league. And this is a multi-billion dollar industry. You don't want to be that guy that brings it down.
Talking to James Salinas at Rounding Again, which was his handle when he won the Super Contest over there at the Westgate back in 2015. That's his Twitter handle as well. You touched on something in there. And again, I just think this is going to ramp up here as college football and pro football, you know, are imminent here. By the way, the Big Ten this morning announcing that they're going to try to play college football starting as early as September 5th with a conference-only schedule. UConn, by the way, the first FBS school to say we are not playing football. UConn said that this morning. But the Big Ten, all systems go. But back to the pro football thing, you know, talking again, contests or fantasy or that kind of thing. And one, I think if you're going to play a contest, play the one with the overlay is probably my strategy in this over there at Circa. But you mentioned it, the UCLA football team, I think, was way ahead of the curve on this. You know, a lot of people don't like when athletes speak up and defend themselves on stuff, and that's a debate for another time. But I do think the UCLA players had this right, and not enough is being made of two things. One, you know, it's a bigger conversation of, look, all these athletes get these tests and these results, like, you know, well before the common man. That's another story. But UCLA had it right when they said, we need a third party. we don't want the school or the team staff controlling these tests, right? So that's another thing with all these teams, right? How are we as bettors and as contest players and as fantasy players, how are we supposed to trust it if a team, you know, is the one dispensing this information? Maybe they are being very selective and creative and strategical about when they will announce the positives and the negatives, right? I even mentioned in college football where I'm like, okay, what if a team like Iowa is leading the Big Ten by a game, right? Like, let's say they're going to win that conference and they're like, we're playing, you know, we should sit out guys this game. We don't want this one on our schedule. Like, there's ways to manipulate the schedule for them where they can go full steam in one and another. I'm just thinking out loud about all the different implications, all the different ways that teams can manipulate this. And in pro football, I do think you need third parties. We need to be able to trust this stuff as contest players and bettors.
Well, and not only do we need to trust it, obviously the players need to trust that, and the organization needs to have trust in their players that they're going to do the right thing when they're, again, off the field. So that is inherently the challenge this year, and I think it kind of makes it exciting. It kind of makes it fun because now every year we go through this, and in a standard year, we know which teams, at least if you're doing your homework, and I think it's going to be so important this year to recognize the depth of rosters on each of these ball clubs, because you're going to have a lot of players that you're going to have to pull up in second stringers, et cetera. And that's happening right now. I mean, the opt-out option, the voluntary piece ends tomorrow afternoon. That's when the deadline is. There's already been a number of players that have opted out. A lot of them are bigger fellas, right? Big defensive linemen, offensive players, for a variety of reasons. So, and that's what's going to be interesting too, is there's some stipulations with the opt-out. You can voluntarily opt out. I think you get $150K, but it doesn't build towards your tenure as far as a player for benefits down the road. But if you have high risk, whether it's yourself, I think there's like 15 different qualifications to put you at high risk. Now, if you're at high risk, I think you get $350,000. And then also a year tenured into your retirement benefit. And so that's a big thing with players. Last year, we'll see what it looks like for 2020, but keep this in mind too. For 2019, across the league, the collective rosters were comprised of 30% of those folks on those rosters were undrafted players. So they're not playing for big contracts. They don't make a lot of money. So there's going to be a lot of soul searching within those players and those families as to what is their next step and what are they going to do. So yeah. Even speaks more to where is the depth on these teams, and you better know those rosters inside and out to, if those things do pop up, that you're ready to make the adjustment on the fly.
And as a guy like you who relies on practice reports, better hope those practice reports are reliable and in-depth this year. So anyway, just wanted to bring it up here at the top of the show because of what happened with Matthew Stafford with the false positive. His wife was talking about how she was going around town and people thought that he was still positive and she was endangering the community. And, you know, she understood why they had that reaction. So it's a whole mess with that. But you're going to play Circa at the very minimum, is what I'm getting out of that.
Well, for sure. And obviously we know the overlay. Mike Palm was just on speaking about it before, and it's tough times, and we get it. There's folks that don't have the discretionary income. A lot of people are laid off. Like, this is obviously, it's impacted people to a personal level that a lot of people living in crisis right now. So, you know, this is a voluntary activity, and we're fortunate enough, those of us that can come in and play, that we still get to participate in this. So I'm very, very thankful to be in the position that I'm in, to be able to still participate and compete in these contests. And then as a contest player too, the competition is out there. There's plenty of options out there too. I mean, now that we're talking about legalization going across the country, here in Colorado, sports betting has been legalized over the last couple months. I just saw a contest that DraftKings is pushing out there. Now, I think it's restricted to New Jersey, but it's really the exact same format. It's the same buy-in. It's really close to the same format with a couple tweaks here that the Super Contest runs, and it's, you know, let's say they're guaranteeing $2 million in prizes for that. So if that's in New Jersey, that unfortunately, I think that's going to have an impact on folks flying across the country if this if this DraftKings contest gets off the ground,
no doubt.
Maybe they don't come out. Maybe they stay close to home. If they're able to, and I know there's the Wire Act. I think that's so antiquated. I think that was back in the Kennedy administration, back in the 60s when they passed that, with interstate gambling. But if there's a way, and I think if there's ever a way right now to justify, to start to push through some of these antiquated laws, it's now, with states needing to find more and more options for revenue,
yeah,
that it's only going to become more and more, it's going to be, again, a bettor's market for not only for playing games and being able to use a multitude of sports books for their options, but also on the contest side. So I haven't made any determinations as to how many of these contests I'll participate in, but I definitely will be coming out, and Circa will be one of them.
Jamesy, thank you. Appreciate it as always.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. Talk to you soon, Gil.
James Salinas, Super Contest Champion. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Sports Nevada here on A Numbers Game at VSiN. Just download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. It's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Let's talk sports from yesterday. Bucks Nets. This FanDuel scandal. Chrissy Andrews on the show. And the PGA. It's A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN20 at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped.com with promo code VSIN20. It's Gil Alexander back at the mothership here at the South Point Hotel Casino in Las Vegas. Danny Burke alongside behind the glass in the penalty box. No, he didn't get the penalty. He's just behind the glass. Dano, yesterday, we talked about this briefly. We didn't talk, actually, we talked about it extensively yesterday. Bucks and Nets was the first of the six NBA games yesterday. The Bucks, while we were on air, were 18.5-point favorites. I think it got to 19, maybe.
Yeah.
Do you have that ESPN stats and info, just putting in historical context? I believe it was the third biggest upset because the Nets won it outright. The Nets won it yesterday, in case you were trapped under a heavy object or didn't see this. But we said on the show yesterday, we said when we were talking about this game, check the tape. I go, listen, I think the Bucks might, you know, there's a possibility the Bucks might sit a whole bunch of players here. Now, I thought it would be in the context of the Bucks leading this game. But either way, that's exactly what the Bucks did. Bucks were 19-point favorites. They end up losing it 119 to 116. My, by the way, you know there was probably somebody out there. We don't know who it is. There's the ESPN stats and info tweet, by the way. 19-point dogs, third largest upset in the NBA in the last 30 seasons. Only the Bulls getting beat as a 21-point, were the Bulls beaten as a 21? But yeah, that was the Jordan year, so they were the favorite by 21. There they got beat. Got to look back at that game. That was the most. But this is the third biggest upset the last 30 years in the NBA yesterday. And that's exactly what the Bucks did. The Bucks sat guys. Giannis got in a little tussle there during the game, but they sat guys in the second half. And so, by the way, give Brooklyn credit. They didn't have their top eight scorers in this game yesterday, and they were playing the Bucks nip and tuck for the entire first half. And then when the Bucks sat all their guys, you know, that spread was donezo at that point. So if you pre-flop these games in the NBA, keep that in mind. Like, keep the motivations in mind. The Bucks have very little to play for. That's why we said yesterday, they could just sit guys. And that's what they did. And so that's what I'm thinking. You know, my tweet yesterday was this. And we have that. I said, ladies and gentlemen, there is Exhibit A for in-game betting over pre-flop betting in the NBA. By the way, it's not relegated to just this game. Jimmy Butler looked like he wasn't going to play the other night. He played, and then yesterday he doesn't play. Right, the last game he doesn't play for the Miami Heat. So, you know, you have to really be on top of this stuff. But you know, somebody out there laid that -4,000 on the Bucks, man. You just know somebody did. Which would have, like, $1,000 would have paid you, what, like $30? Something like that. On the Buccos yesterday, on the Bucks. Somebody probably just got destroyed by that. I saw Preston was messing with people. He goes, "Who's with me? 120,000 to win 3,000." I think people interpreted as some people might have interpreted as him doing it. He didn't do it, but you know that was the kind of thing you could do. And then of course there's people who took flyers on the Nets. I took the Nets in game, the last break of the third quarter. The Nets at that point, I think, were up 5 or up 7, and I got them at +4 for the game. Now, even that turned out to be a bit of a sweat because there was a Bucks run, a 7-0 run at one point in the fourth, where the Bucks actually went up 3 points at one point. But the +4 ended up coming in quite nicely, obviously, with the Nets winning it outright. I had the Nets +4. And so that's just exhibit A of why in-game betting, especially in this NBA bubble, is just so much better than a pre-flop side. Total's a little different, but sides for sure. You jump in that game at all?
I did not. I had some friends who naturally jumped in on the Bucks when they were down. I mean, that's just another in-game opportunity where you think that would be the right side, considering 8 out of 11 players on the Nets had played in the G League at some point this past season is what they said. I thought that was pretty incredible. But look, it can't be stressed enough how much better the in-game aspect is in pre-flop NBA just because of how many runs you go on. Even if the team you're going to go pre-flop ends up covering that spread, there's still so many great opportunities to take advantage of a better line just because how many runs it is. It's so volatile in the NBA, Gil.
Yeah, man. By the way, we had a Jimmy Vaccaro tweet. So for the people who took the Nets, Jimmy Vaccaro, I think, was talking about how the we took $800, he said, at the South Point on Nets money line at 16-1. This betting is easy, Jimmy quips. It's Jimmy Vaccaro, everybody, who I had a pleasant 10-minute conversation with the other night. But you know what my takeaway is from that? Can we throw that one more time? Just throw up that tweet from Jimmy again, the consigliere here at the South Point Hotel Casino. They took $800 at 16-1. Why was that only 16-1? That's the story that's underlying that whole tweet right there. They should get better than 16-1 on that, the straddle. That's not a South Point thing. That's just a market thing. But 16-1, man, I think they should be shortchanged for that victory bettors on that. Anyway, Exhibit A for in-game being better than pre-flop. No better example than that game yesterday because of exactly what the Bucks did sitting all those guys. Can't know what these teams are thinking when spreads are that big, especially. We'll come back. We've got to talk about this FanDuel scandal in New Jersey. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Sports are back in full swing, and now's the time to subscribe to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're offering our best price of 2020 on short and long-term packages. We even offer a free trial if you're still not sure which option is best for you. Take advantage of the offer before the prices go up for football season. And subscribe today and put the VSiN experts to work for you with daily email updates that include our best bets from every show, host, and guest, 24/7 video access, point spread weekly, our annual NFL betting guide, and more. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today. Get in on the special offer before it expires. That's VSiN.com/subscribe for all the details. Okay, so you may remember a few weeks back, we were talking about this thing at MGM where some bettors past posted Korean and Japanese baseball games. The games, in other words, had started, and then they placed wagers knowing that they had started and knowing what the scores were, and gaming ruled in favor of BetMGM, and correctly so, quite frankly, because those guys were past posting. It's just that ain't how this works. All right, now we have something in New Jersey which is quite different. This is at FanDuel. Our buddy David Purdom wrote a great piece on this at ESPN.com, and he was basically talking about how gaming regulators in multiple states are examining now dozens of soccer bets across a bunch of leagues that FanDuel has withheld payment on for weeks, leaving bettors without their winnings, without their initial stakes, and are frustrated. The New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement has been reviewing the matter. Purdom goes on to say the dispute is centered on the odds FanDuel offered and whether the prices posted were the result of an error by the bookmaker. So here's the deal, Dano. Do people call you Dano, by the way? Once your name's Dan, you got to be called Dano, right? July 12th through July 15th. Is that a yes? They call you Dan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything work.
Okay. July 12th through July 15th. Bettors in Indiana and New Jersey targeted games in MLS, the Premier League, La Liga, and Serie A. In total, tens of thousands of dollars were wagered on the games over 4 days with a potential payout of more than $200,000. Almost all the bets were won, according to Purdom, but bettors told ESPN they had not been paid or refunded the amounts they wagered. The majority of the 50-plus bets made in Jersey were parlays placed online. However, at least two were made over-the-counter at FanDuel at the Meadowlands. He caught up with Daniel Levy, a 29-year-old from Long Island. He placed his bet at the Meadowlands, and he got FC Cincinnati in the MLS plus five goals at minus 134 versus Atlanta United. Not plus a half goal, plus five goals. And this was up for 3 days. Levy went up to the counter. He placed a $5,360 bet on Cincinnati plus five goals at the price offered. Minus 136. That should be like minus 4,000. The teller received approval from the supervisor on site and even offered Levy the opportunity to make another bet of a similar size on Cincinnati. Levy said, all right, I'll put another $4,640 on it. Another $4,640 on Cincinnati plus five goals. Cincinnati won the game, by the way, 1-0. All right. So, first of all, what kind of supervisor is approving that bet? And then the writer's like, you want more? It literally is like FanDuel might as well have hired my mother and father, who know nothing about sports betting, to be their ticket writer. My mother would be like, my dad would be the supervisor, be like, just take the bet. I don't care. And my mother would be like, okay, would you like more? Like, it might as well have been my parents. Taking it. Like, who's got these jobs? So Captain Jack, who I believe, by the way, if there's a commissioner of sports betting, Captain Jack Andrews should be the commissioner of sports betting. He may kill me because he may not want that job. But really, he's on top of all of this stuff. And so he was adding further context for me beyond this article from David Purdom. What this is a systemic derivative pricing error at FanDuel on all of their soccer leagues. So once you got to anything plus two or higher, their pricing just went out of whack. So the Cincinnati plus five was as egregious as it got, priced at minus 134. And as I said, should have been like minus 4,000 or something. But it is worth pointing out that those errors were across the board in all of these leagues. And once you got to that, they had this little error. You can call it a glitch, but it was like this massive error. There were plenty of parlays that lost, Captain Jack points out. Most were bet in round robins for $20 to $50 per iteration. Anthony Curtis wrote a blog about it last night as well, friend of network from Las Vegas Advisor. He did a great job with it, too. We do know that some pros, you know, took advantage. We know a lot of people took advantage of this. Here's the deal, though. In Indiana, the law pretty much says the sportsbook is right however they choose to handle it. So the bettors who did this in Indiana may not actually get the ruling that they deserve. In New Jersey, the law is much more complicated. Gaming there has to approve any bet cancellation. The fact that they've been sitting on this for 3+ weeks indicates it might be more complicated to them. And Jack is right about that. And so my perspective on this is, remember a couple years ago when there was that in-game thing with the Denver Broncos? The article actually that Purdom wrote refers to this, where the Broncos, and let me get this right, the Broncos, it was an in-game bet September of 2018 in New Jersey at FanDuel. It was a Raiders-Broncos game. FanDuel attempted to update its live odds to reflect the Broncos as minus 600 favorites. Instead, a glitch resulted in Denver being offered as a plus 75,000 or 750-1 underdog. The mistake lasted for only 18 seconds, but was enough for 12 bets to be placed on the Broncos. And in that case, gaming ruled in favor of the bettors, but not because of the reasons we think. They ruled in favor of the bettors because there is a law in New Jersey gaming where the book can't unilaterally make a decision on a situation like that. And FanDuel went ahead and made a unilateral decision. We're not paying you. And so gaming got mad at FanDuel and said, you can't do that. You're paying everybody.
And that was the game where they had the Broncos end up getting like a game-winning field goal, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those guys got, you know, that was different. So that's not exactly a precedent. Here, though, these things were up for 3 days. Right. And the whole, you know, matter is, at what point does a sports book become responsible for their own errors? Right. Like, the pass posting thing is one thing. Those bettors were taking advantage of the game had started. OK, I get it. I'm for the book, for it being ruled in the favor of the book. That was a different circumstance. These lines are up for 3 days. Like, at some point, you're the problem. Right. And so I am completely, like completely on the side of the sports bettor in this case. All these people should be paid. And here's the point that needs to be stated also. Let's say Cincinnati didn't win that game 1-0. Let's say they lost 6-0 in his, the most egregious of all of these errors. Would FanDuel have, refunded his money on this? I'm going to say they wouldn't have. I could be wrong, but that's just my hunch. And that's always the thing you have to ask yourself here. By the way, that's also, boy, the bettor actually pointed that out in the Purdom article as well. We pointed it out with the BetMGM stuff, with the past posting as well. Like, you always have to think about the other side. I'm sorry. FanDuel's got to pay these people. You don't have these up for 3 days and then think you're going to just not pay these people. Especially when your supervisor's like, cool, and the writer's like, I don't know, would you like more? Like my mother would say, if she were the ticket writer there. I hope my parents aren't listening. Let's find out what Chrissy Andrews thinks about this and more. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Coming back.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
BetMGM Sports wants you to start out with amazing odds during this August like no other. That's why they're giving new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on the Lakers-Thunder game. And if either team hits a three, you win $100. All you got to do is sign up, make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of the special offer. There's never been a summer like this before, and there's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets when you bet $1 on the Lakers-Thunder game and either team hits a three. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. It's Danny Burke behind the glass. I really meant that when I said I hope my parents are... Parents aren't listening to the invitation. Might as well have been my parents as the ticket writer, the supervisor. As my mother used to say, one of our children is a doctor, and the other one, I don't know what he talks about on the radio. Let's bring in Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha. How you doing, Chris? How's it going, man?
What's going on? Hey, I'm doing pretty good, buddy.
So I'm right about this, right? I mean, look, I'm not alone in this opinion. This particular case, this FanDuel case, the bettors need to be paid for this, right?
For a second, I might be in a bad spot. Go say it again, please.
Oh no! We cut out there for a second. I'm saying in this FanDuel case, the bettors need to be paid in this particular instance. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's listen, if I got the story straight, I tried to read it, and sometimes but I think I got the facts. That number was up for 3 days.
3 days. Across multiple
and
leagues.
A supervisor. Yeah, I mean, and a supervisor looked at it and confirmed it and then, offered him to bet it again.
Yes.
I saw the one where the Bellagio, they didn't pay those guys, and I thought they actually might. But that was pretty blatant past posting.
Yes,
I know, once lawyers get involved, they can always give you this or that, and say he didn't know or whatever. That was pretty blatant. But this one's pretty blatant the other way. Listen, at some point you have to be responsible for the number. That's obviously a horrible, horrible number. You could still lose theoretically, but, the odds, what do you lay, like $1.34 or something like that?
$1.34 at +5. Yes. This is like it's like your hockey teasers.
You probably had to lay, he probably had to lay $50, something like that, not $1.34. But the fact of it was really pretty gross negligence on the part of FanDuel to allow that to happen.
Totally. And you know, again, if a bettor makes a mistake and puts in a bet by accident, like, they don't have much recourse. And, you know, there's so many ways that are skewed against the bettor. This is one of those where, you know, at some point the book is responsible. And I think this is a pretty blatant example. And we'll see how it goes. Again, state to state is different. As I mentioned, Indiana may have the autonomy, the books, that is, to actually not have to pay out. New Jersey, though, different set of circumstances there, and the bettors should absolutely be paid. Everybody should be paid in every state, but New Jersey bettors have a better shot than those in Indiana. Chrissy, I got. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just going to throw out real quick. You know, I told everybody about the David Thom story. That's kind of we got pass posted on that, but that was pass posted. But the state ruled in favor of the play. The other one I was thinking of last night. I was this was halfway through the year. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago. I was adjusting some World Series on it. And the Mets, whatever I had them, I was going up on them to 75-1. And I put it in 750-1. And, you know, a guy ran in and bet me $100 right away. You know, I said, oh, dang it. You know, but, Lou Vargin, who was the supervisor, says, oh, I feel so bad I should have caught that. I said, Lou, let's just keep one thing in mind. It's the Mets. They're not winning anything, so we'll be okay.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Alan Boston tells me all the time, he's like, you know, back in the day, I used to, he said he would tell the bookmaker, right? Like, the relationship between the bookmaker and the player was so, cordial in those days, or just respectful, let's say, where Alan would actually tell him, be like, hey, you know, you made a mistake here. And the bookmaker in response, and I can't remember, he was talking about Scotty Shetler, whoever it was, would be like, okay, well, you get to make a bet and then I'll change it because you were so honest with me. Those days are long gone.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I came into this business learning from my Uncle Jack, learned from Jimmy Vaccaro, and I often did very similar things to that. You know, you could have your, now if a guy's a $20 bettor and all of a sudden he wants to bet you $3,000, I'm not going for that. But you could have your regular bet, you know, and thank you for telling us. And I did that plenty of times.
Yeah. Talking to Chrissy Andrews, by the way, the man who runs a sports book here at the South Point Hotel Casino, at Andrews Sports on Twitter. And of course, the author of Then One Day, available where all books are sold, including Amazon. Great stories from back in the day in his 30-40 year career in bookmaking in the state of Nevada. So, Chrissy, I got Brady Cannon coming on. I got Dave Tindall coming on.
Yeah.
I have picks from Rufus Peabody and Joe Pita for golf on the way. How has that looked from your standpoint behind the desk? Is this reaching typical Masters year levels?
Oh, no, not yet. No, nowhere near yet.
Hmm.
And, you got to remember Masters, are we talking about the PGA this week?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the action's good, but it's nowhere near Masters level. You got to remember Masters. We usually have that up for what? 5 months,
yes.
6 months, maybe something like that.
True.
So there's a lot of, a lot of casual bets. A guy that might, when he's in town betting the Super Bowl or playoffs, football wise, just throw a couple bucks on the Masters to have action. So we didn't have nearly that sort of lead time here. And there's a nice little buzz, and I got the screen in front of me right now. We've got some action. We've got a couple guys that we're going to have to knock down, and that's really fairly typical. But no, it's not that kind of buzz for this particular tournament. But I do have to say, and I went over the numbers, and told Michael about it yesterday. Well, sent one of my guys to come. You know, our handle's up 600% over a month ago. So I mean, the business has been fantastic. It hasn't quite caught up to the PGA this week yet. But I think we'll do some pretty big business today. Hopefully some guys are listening and get some pretty good golf guys on today. And they'll probably inspire some action. Hopefully we could do what a bookmaker's supposed to do and balance out some of that action. But I think we'll get some today.
Who do you need to take down, as you said? Who are the golfers you don't need to win this?
Koepka, Ricky Fowler, Tony Finau.
Tony
Finau. We always have to knock down Mickelson. He's easy to root against.
just because the number is what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, I think number, but still, I think it's just people like him, you know, I'm just going to speak for myself here. After that whole Billy Walters episode, there's no way I'd ever root for Phil Mickelson again. I can tell you that. No way.
Yep.
So.
Okay. So.
But those are the guys. But otherwise, we've got some good action, but nothing like an ordinary Masters. No, not even close.
All right. So then predict this for me. Between the PGA, golf's first major this week, this year, the NBA, the NHL bubbles, both in the NBA and NHL, Major League Baseball, what do you expect the pie to look like this week?
Well, baseball and basketball have taken the biggest portion of the pie, definitely on days when the Knights aren't playing. So the days that the Knights are playing, the hockey definitely, you know, is in that mix. With those other sports, but you know, they really promote a ton of action one way or the other. You know, the public comes in and bets, the Golden Knights, and the, you know, the wise guys often come in and bet the other way, you know, so it really promotes a ton of action. I mean, I don't want to moan about the hockey action. It's been fantastic and it's great to have, you know, 9 o'clock hockey games in the middle of the week.
So
it's fantastic.
Great. Yeah.
But basketball and baseball taking the bulk of it. And this week, it'll be interesting to see how we do with the with golf, because I think we'll do some pretty good action. But it would definitely be fourth, among the major sports. I'd be shocked if it was any higher than that.
I mean,
totally surprised. And it won't be.
Will it be better than the typical PGA in another year, though? Give me that much, right? It'll be better than that.
Oh yeah, I would say so. Yeah, the PGA definitely is, you know, the fourth of the four majors. It just doesn't have the intrigue of the other three. There's always just great, you know, PGA is like a really good golf tournament, like sort of normal, you know, I would say. You know, US Open has its uniqueness, the British definitely has its uniqueness, and the Masters is, you know, the same course every year. And I know they lay it out a little differently, but it's just it's kind of an inspirational spot and you know, viewing for the TV viewers and for the fans. So they have their each their own uniqueness, where the PGA is just like a really good tournament with, you know, high money prizes and all that stuff. But, you know, they failed to capture the imagination of the public like the other three have.
Yeah. For sure, the fourth of the majors, but in a year like this, my God, I'm thirsty. I think we're all thirsty as sports bettors to dive in.
Well, I'll tell you what, they've been quenching their thirst this week. I got to tell you, man, our action's been through the roof.
Good to hear, and thank you for chiming in on FanDuel as well, Chrissy.
My pleasure.
Chris
my
Andrews, pleasure. Everybody, from the South Point, sportsbook director at the South Point, author of Then One Day, at Andrews Sports on Twitter. All right. We will get into all our picks here. We'll review our picks from yesterday, because we had a plethora of picks yesterday. Some sports great, some sports not so great. We'll review those, and then we'll get into Brady Cannon, Dave Tindall on the PGA, give us their picks. We'll talk about Rufus Peabody and Joe Pita's picks. We'll do some MLB, some NBA, some NHL. Nothing but picks next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And the weather looks awful in the Bay. Danny, when I fly from the Bay to here, it's a 50-degree drop sometimes. Or I say the other way. From here to there, it's a 50-degree drop. Don't expect sunshine. It ain't that kind of Cali. Coming back, a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.